Welcome to another episode of Market Overdrive. I am your host, residential real estate broker with Coble Banker. My name is Carla Mina. And with me, as usual, every Thursday, my co-host who decided to clean up today.
I showered and everything.
What happened? What's going on with your face?
I got a lot of appointments far more important than you, Carla, but that's why I'm here.
Dressed I appreciate up today, your appointments.
Go well, first of all, our guest is important, so I'm here. I actually took a shower.
You cleaned up for our guest?
Yes, I'm not going to clean up for you.
Obviously, but really.
We had a day full of meetings today. Started at the office. We had two meetings, and then we're here. And then we got to go somewhere after this. So it's been a day where it's just easier for me to get dressed up.
Blah, blah, blah. Enough about you.
Versus in regular clothes, and that's that.
So, you know? Do you want to introduce our other co-host?
The guy that's here all the time?
All the time?
Who carries the show with vocals?
Hey, everybody.
How you doing,
Thursday.
Man?
Hey, where the monkey?
I'm good. I cleaned up, too, a little bit, right? No, I didn't clean up.
You're always cleaned up, though, actually. This one over here doesn't know what I mean.
I mean, I like to keep a facade of looks for the show. Sometimes I wear a hat. Sometimes I wear a suit. Sometimes I wear a sweatshirt.
Enough
a jacket,
about your fashion you know? Sense, but can we really get you know? To why we're here today, especially...
We are here... Sorry.
Go ahead.
We got a good show today.
I apologize.
It's going to be an amazing show today. Great energy, lots of information, great topic. What are we talking about today, Nick?
Making money in investment properties. Sit back, collect your cash.
Look at you. That's what you it's did all your about homework. Today.
Yep.
I love
yep.
it.
I did my homework. It's
on the prompter right there.
It's all about the prompters are working.
Prompters.
Buying a property, everyone wants to buy an investment property, but buying one that's actually, you know, paying dividends is what is important. You know, it's easy to own one and play just the equity game, but at some point you got to
sort of like
the
what
right
you do with your investment property.
I like to make money along the way as well, collect rent, hopefully have a positive cash flow, but we brought somebody in that's better than all of us at doing that.
I hope so, because I've been trying to get your business for a long time.
Someone that's not only done it as individual, probably for himself, I'm assuming, but all as well for a ton of clients. So in the studio today, WGN Radio, coming all the way from Orland Park. That's not a close ride.
Nope.
But you're here, and we appreciate it. Mr. Dave Shalabi of Remax, it's good to have you. How you been?
It's really great to be here with such wonderful, energetic folks.
Really?
Yeah.
What
love
about
you guys.
Carla and Grocco?
No, folks.
Oh.
Plural.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, cool. Good.
Thanks, man.
So,
you're
Dave, welcome.
We know a lot about you. Carla, myself, Grocco, we've all been acquainted, but tell us a little bit about yourself. We'd like our hosts, our guest hosts to give us a little bit of their background and resume. I have something here on you, but I want you to say it in your own words.
Sure. So I'm a lifelong resident of Orland Park. I've been a broker for 11 years now. I've had the pleasure of serving with RE/MAX from the entire time of me being involved. And I believe heavy in civic service. I am grateful to be a commissioner for the Village of Orland Park's planning department. So we get to see projects kind of pre-inception and then followed all the way through. I served as a board member for my 10 schools in Orland Park, the Orland School District 135, and I currently serve as the president of the foundation there. So,
wow.
Not just real estate, but we believe in civic service as well.
So you just take your money, go home, and don't talk to nobody, right?
No. We're dedicated to the community.
I'm being sarcastic. You're very involved in the community. Yeah. But you forgot to mention something.
Yes.
You're one of the top agents at your office. That's kind of an important
And the region, actually, of Northern Illinois for
Remax.
Excuse me. Sorry. Region.
I didn't mean to screw that up.
So we're number one in
get
our four offices.
Get it together. Yeah.
See, he's
he didn't read your
Remax,
bio.
Congratulations.
I memorized
Thanks.
It.
He's part of the Remax Titan Club.
Yes.
It's 2016.
Yep.
Number 13 commercial individual in the United States.
Yes.
Are you reading this?
Which is why. Yeah, I am reading because he forgot to tell some of us.
Why didn't?
Because he's
humble. I think it should be told with some humility.
It's a humble way of doing it. But, I mean, those are pretty big achievements. And you are here specifically because, essentially, investment properties do fall into commercial more times than none.
Absolutely.
So, with all that fun being said, where do you want to start?
Anywhere, really. We bring you and we like to showcase your awesome because we want our listeners to understand that we're not here to just BS you, right? This is not information that you're Googling and you're going to say, okay, I want to buy an investment property. Where do I start? We brought in an expert that specializes in this, has done it for himself as well as his clients, and obviously you're very tenured. Where would you like to start? So if I had to buy an investment property and I had to choose between, say, you know, a condo, a townhouse, or a multi-unit, which is what a lot of people are doing these days, what do you advise, Dave?
Right. So to be quite frank, I actually am a huge fan of the single family concept. Sometimes those fall under townhome associations, which do run into a little bit of difficulty down the road when individuals are not allowed to rent from their association. Multifamily, although I love it, I'm not a huge fan of where people should be putting their money. I think single family is giving the best bang for its buck, surprisingly so. And I think that the maintenance is pretty cost effective as well.
No, you just said something that's probably throwing people watching right now for a loop.
I know.
And I've actually heard this from somebody at your office many moons ago. I'm that old. Yeah. But I have some former
Some of them are still there.
But I heard this from an agent before you actually got to that office, I think 20 years ago, that all he rented was single-family homes. Did you say something like this that's pretty shocking? Everyone's probably watching and thinking you're going to say two-unit, three-unit, four-unit, six units. You say single-family.
Right. So if you just to kind of reverse engineer this for a second, the four units typically in our area do not make any money.
Okay.
I mean, they sell for roughly between $390,000 to $405,000. With a 25% down payment, as you guys would know in the lending, and about a $12,000 annual tax bill, typically based on the rents coming in at roughly $1,000 for those four units, gas and water being covered by the owners, they are not really making any money. So it kind of astonishes me, although we have they sell very, very quickly. I think that single family probably has the best upturn.
In your specific neighborhood?
I would say in the southwest suburbs in general. Mm-hmm. In the condos in the city, it gets a little bit more difficult for condos because sometimes the assessment fees don't make it cost. They're a little bit cost prohibitive.
Right. When you have a full amenity building and you're looking at $1,000 or $500 in assessments, kind of eats up at your rental yield, right?
So, right. Absolutely.
So you're saying basically in that single family category, you would recommend a single, like a house rather than a condo itself or a townhouse?
Townhome or home.
But townhouses have the assessments as well.
They do. But so typically, statistically speaking, out in the southwest suburbs, they're a lot lower. So they may be in the ballpark of $130 up to $180 per month.
Right.
And that includes lawn care and snow removal, which tenants typically view as a very positive amenity.
Right. So what you're saying is basically a townhouse is going to be like fee simple with homeowners association. And because it's going to be, a townhouse and it's fee simple with homeowners association, you're not paying for major amenities like a pool or a doorman.
Absolutely.
So then the assessments tend to be a little bit lower. So then do look into that townhouse or single family category that's going to allow you to get more rental yield. And of course, I know that Nick likes to say, let's not get into neighborhoods and what have you. So what we're trying to say to you today is that if you're looking to become a landlord, instead of like we've had information about 1031 exchange and multi-unit purchases when we had our client Melissa Diaz come into the studio and share her story on how she managed her own building. But this is like yet another option for you to become a landlord. And it's cool though, right? Because when you buy your first home and you decide you don't like it, you don't like the location, this is another option for you to think about, well, if my carrying cost is pretty low and the interest rate is pretty low, why don't I just keep it as an investment and start a portfolio? So you're basically saying we can start an investment portfolio with just single family.
Love it.
Yeah, so
the model's fantastic.
The quote that I heard from this gentleman in your office back in 1999 was, the reason I like doing single family homes so much is I don't have to touch anything. I rent them with complete hands off. I'm sure things have changed since then.
There's also a little bit of a model within what I'm stating, right? Mm-hmm. I think that a 3-bedroom, 1.5-bath or 3-bedroom, 1-bath, but ideally a 3-bedroom, 1.5-bath is the best model. Because it also encourages family. They end up staying there long term. There's less turnover. Mm. And I think that they can appreciate a yard. They're not moving out of the place too quickly. So there's a model within the model as well.
Wow. Right, which is pretty true across the board for investment properties, because if you're looking at a multi-unit as well, right, I always say if you have a 3-bedroom on each unit, you're going to tend to cater to a family that stays longer. But if you have a 2-bedroom or a 1-bedroom, it's going to be more of a transient young single person that's going to be moving more often than not, right? So with the single family, you're saying people stay longer?
Absolutely. And remember, what ties them as well is schools, right? So they want very, very little movement. What I found in the – and the beautiful thing is about 10 years ago when the market started to shift in a way that we thought wouldn't be encouraging sales-wise, I founded a property management division within my company. And what we did was try to say, well, what are some of the loopholes within the real estate business? Well, we found that people don't have long-term clients, and they don't keep in touch with their long-term clients, and people were having a hard time selling their properties, but they still had to move out. So we said, look, we'll help you lease the property, and we'll manage it for you. So that, no, but they might damage my property. I said, look, we have full service management that we'll offer to kind of negate that. So what we found is with a lot of our clients that we were managing multifamily for, it was a beautiful learning lesson, and we were getting paid for it simultaneously. Sure. And it was that when you change something for somebody down the hall, the tenant in multifamily said, but you just changed their carpeting, or you just changed their light fixtures, or you just changed their flooring. You just painted their unit. You didn't paint mine.
Everybody wants
But they may not have been paying the same rent as you, and then you can't get into disclosure on what they're paying. So it was a huge learning lesson. Mm-hmm. And we said that with single family, they're all sporadic.
Right.
They aren't saying, well, you did this for this person, and you did this for this person. So
the odds are they don't even know each other.
And the upside, if you think about this, like let's say there was an apartment building that was going for $750,000 that now became worth $850,000 over a 8-year period. Well, the single families might have been jumping by 15, 16, 17,000 for the same capital. You might have been getting 130 to 150,000 upside. Or if you wanted to free up just a little bit of money, you know, I got this little venture that I want to put into this for. You say, hey, let me just dump one property, for lack of a better word.
Sure.
Rather than let
all
me just sell the entire building.
Right.
Yeah, or all 12 units or all 24 units.
What I was getting at earlier is the quote the other gentleman made back then was that his leases at that time, we're talking a whole other era, a whole other market demand, but at that time, his leases on all these single family homes were pretty much hands off for him. Anything that happened outside of major exterior structure, they dealt with. So plumbing, for example, the tenant had to deal with. Electric issues, like, the tenant dealt with.
Yeah.
He just dealt with holes in the roof, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know? Is that an option that's still out there?
We have not. I would say less than 5% of the time that comes across our desk. What we do see is that the individuals are responsible for all the lawn maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
And then if we've advised some of our owners, especially the ones with larger portfolios, to say the first $75 of every incident per month, for instance, or per occurrence, is paid for by the tenant. And what that does is it negates a lot of the little, like, oh, you know what, my
light bulb
toilet's running. Yeah, oh, yeah, my six light bulbs need to get burned out.
Right.
And then all of a sudden they start taking care of, and they start to feel a little bit of ownership.
So
call me
when it's real.
Yeah.
Not like,
I like
your
that.
Toilet
we should use that.
Call me when it's real.
Trademark that.
That's kind of
call me when
you
it's real.
You don't want to do that.
Call
no.
Shalabi
no.
when it's real.
No. No. Let's be nice. Let's play nice. Remember, they're your clients and you have to treat them with respect. You can't just go
no,
and change
you know,
locks.
Thanks, Carl.
No.
Yes.
We've had this conversation before.
Hey,
we don't want to go there, though.
There's a different.
This is a legit property manager here.
Whenever we say investment property, I think that 70% of the people, including myself, the light bulb dings and you're thinking of a two unit or more, multiple units of some
right.
sort.
Yeah.
It's not often you think that somebody might have a bunch of single family homes, but it's funny because the two times I've ever heard this have come specifically out of your office. Yeah. And it's awesome because it's like, you know, it goes to show that we've said in shows over and over and over again, you can't take the same brush and stroke it across all real estate and say it's going to work this way for everything all the time. Some cases it's better off to own multi-units. Some cases it's better off to own single families. And he's saying in his region or his area, that seems to be a better yielding return with less work involved and just an overall better, for the most part, better investment. It's not the case everywhere.
I just like the fact that we're giving people options.
Right.
Because, you know, maybe you're a first-time investor and you don't want to manage multiple families. You got three to, you know, you have a four unit and that just gets overwhelming. What if you just want to start with one property, manage one family? And what I found is that people who buy properties or single-family investors, they'll rent them to a family who ends up buying it in the future anyway, right? You do like a rent-to-own. And because they are so comfortable in their home that sometimes they're like, well, you know, I just have credit issues or what have you, let's work on a down payment assistance program, what have you, so they can eventually buy it. Are you guys doing that?
Yeah, so we don't do rent to own programs, but what we're seeing is that what we find is that it's hard to dictate a price up front,
right?
And then 12 months down the road, from an appraisal perspective or a value perspective, it's hard to commit from both sides. So
sure.
But we do see people say, hey, you know, I've been paying this rent for 4 years, it may make sense for me to just end up owning the property. What I love, which I was gonna, that Carla kind of brushed upon, is that think about the small investor that's saying, Dave, and Carla and Nick and Greco, where do we start, right? Well, you could start with a $160,000 property with 10% down, right? And that's where they would call you guys and say, can we get this property? And now they're at a mortgage for $600, $700 a month plus association and taxes. They might be all in for $1,200 and getting $1,800 or $1,850 out of that property.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, that's a great formula.
And based on their initial principal investment, it's such a fantastic return.
Sure.
And then you can start off and say, you know what, it didn't work out so well for me. Maybe I'm just not the investor type. But a lot of people, when they hear the word investment, they kind of get scared saying, I've got to go buy a multifamily building for $600,000.
And it's massive down payments of 25, 30%.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Where
Which
you can get a single family home and you can, and in some cases, if they qualify, it's FHA.
Yeah.
So, and they're still yielding a return besides the upside of what the value ends up increasing over the next 4 to 5 years.
Well, not to mention if you're buying look, sometimes people buy a house and then something happens. You know, one of the toughest things that could ever happen to a borrower is, let's say they did buy their first time home buyer, 3.5% down, 18 months or so later, they get a relocation on their job. Now they're scrambling to try and sell something. They don't want to sell it quite yet because they think the neighborhood might go up in value substantially over the next 5 years. They bought it for a reason too, you know. So, you know, at that point, as long as they've spent a minimal amount of time in the property as an owner-occupant, they have the lowest possible rate when they do rent it out to another family. Because I think too many people are scrambling to wash their hands of their single families, and the only thing that you can own as an investment, quote-unquote, is something with a bunch of units attached to it.
Yeah.
And it's not the case. You could literally, if you're a vagabond in this country, you could literally own 15 different single family homes over a long period of time with very little bit of down payment. As long as you're moving like every year or so, you can't move out because that would be non-compliant. But
can you go back to that again? Like, just because I know you're basically saying, like, if someone is moving a lot, they're very transient, they can basically structure a deal where they can buy something every year as an owner occupant.
I have a young lady who's
we're writing
a really thin line here. I just want to be very
careful.
Look at
Graco. Graco's like, Carla, don't call me anymore. Don't ask me those questions.
Especially not with one of my loan officers in the building. I'm going to say something that's going to be aggressive to breaking compliance or violating a mortgage note. But I have specifically a client who's the head manager for a huge, call it a sub-chain of Holiday Inns. Like, this one particular entrepreneur owns like 16, 17 Holiday Inns throughout the country, okay? Now, he moves this GM like a hitman from one to another. She came in. I met her. She originally worked with iLoan in Minnesota. She bought her first home. Not her first. I think it was her second home. She came down from Tennessee. So she moved up to Minnesota, lived there for literally 13, 14 months, then was relocated down to the northwest suburbs here, which is how I met her and did her first loan. And guess what? She's already telling me that she's probably on – that was 2 years ago, by the way. And she's on her way out to go down back to Tennessee because they're opening another Holiday Inn. So there are people – that are literally traveling employees for one corporation. And now here she is. Now, granted, when she bought her house with us, she put down 15%. But she could have literally qualified with the legitimate excuse and shown the documentation. She's moving on with a bunch of 3% down purchases over and over again, not because she's trying to loop the system, but because that's what duty calls for. And there's a lot of people out there that can own these homes. My point was just that you don't have to always put down 20% in order to be an investor. Sometimes it can happen. In nature.
That's not a good nature, idea. So people need to do it.
Go ahead, put down 3% and move out two months later. No, you can't do that. You know. No, because they could come back and get you too as a homeowner.
Going back to expenses though and carrying costs, Dave, you mentioned that, you know, some homes, right, are going to resell better and also are going to rent higher, or people are going to stay there longer if they're in a good school district. But then obviously we know that good school districts dictate higher taxes. So if you're an investor, you're looking for these specific neighborhoods, know that you're also going to be paying a premium to be in those neighborhoods because of the taxes being higher at the quote-unquote good schools.
Yeah, so I could speak of the Orland School District. We are the 10th largest school district in the state of Illinois. We have an exceptional system, and I think that we have a very high ranking. But within that realm, our taxes are very, very reasonable within the Orland Park community.
Okay.
It's actually quite fantastic because we generate a lot of revenue from retail. So if you think retail, you think of Orland Park in many ways, from the car dealerships up and down 159th to the Simon Group Mall to just a boatload of different types of revenue sources from the commercial end, which offset the tax break.
Right. So if you're not in Chicago, you're not in this area, but you're looking to become an investor and you're thinking, okay, maybe I'll do the single family category or just buy a house. Would you recommend that people look outside the major metro city areas and look in the suburbs where you're not necessarily going to be paying a premium for the schools? It's kind of like a guaranteed.
Love the suburbs. I mean, they have very good yielding return. Now, of course, it differs from suburb to suburb, but the suburbs have been a very, very positive cash flow, I would say, going back from when I initially started till now. And I haven't really seen anyone running from the model of the single families. Some of our clients have 27 properties. Some of them have 14. Some of them have 6. Wow. Some of them have 2. You know, some of them have 1. Some of them got stuck because they said, Dave, I bought a townhome when I got married. I'm upside down by about $25,000. What can I do? Well, here's what we can do. You know, it turns into investment property, and now you gain depreciation as well as initial tax write-offs in the sense of, like, if there's ever modifications made, which you couldn't gain as a primary owner. So it really ends up working out well if you change the flooring or if you paint or you change, update the bathrooms. And you couldn't have done that if it was your single family residence from a tax perspective that now you can do from a depreciation and an income revenue perspective.
Okay. Ooh, he comes in here sounding like an accountant. I love
right.
it.
Right. I was like, what? How do we make money?
I like
money?
It. I like
but
it,
let's
man.
Go back to, you're talking about managing a lot of properties for, you know, one client holding multiple properties. Sure. What do you speak, what is your take on property management? At what point do I hire somebody to manage these properties for me? Because I'm basically just carrying these mortgages and paying the bills and collecting rent and building a portfolio.
Yeah. So our main focus is 100% absolute sales. Mm-hmm. And then what we do is offset that by leasing and management. We have individuals that get moved away for work. We have one unit for them, one unit in the city, one unit in the South Loop, one unit in Wicker Park, one unit in Bucktown. You know, we had a client that's been our client for 9 years, Felicia, that was just
Felicia.
Yeah, Felicia.
That's a song.
Yeah, I don't want to give her last name on the air, but fantastic. Never
heart.
Met her once. Trusted me with her property for the last 9 years, and then she ended up selling it because of the upside. So we ended up making, you know, she ended up earning about $120,000 upside on that.
Wow. Okay.
Hi Felicia.
It's also a song, right? Felicia.
So you could, to answer the question, it could be, yeah, it could be one or three or five. It could, it just depends on how busy. I mean, we have clients that own seven and they say, Dave, just help me lease it and buy the properties and I'll manage it myself. But typically people like the full hands off and they realize that the process is so streamlined. We negotiate the rents for them.
See, because I'm so awesome. Say it.
Well,
I say it all the time.
Yeah.
All right. I'm so cool.
Well,
I'm so awesome.
We had an interesting little noise that just came up, and we didn't want to break you in the middle of your.
It's like when you talk, I ignore you. That's kind of
so
how that noise.
That funky noise. Yeah, that funky noise was a Nitro question, which we have to give you a question. We're gonna give you about 10 or 15 minutes to think about it. You don't have to answer it right away. And honestly, we just come up with these things randomly as the dialogue goes on. But since we are on a hot topic, and it seems like we are moving quick today. Wow, 30 minutes have already like flown right past us.
Are we short today?
No, you two are short every day. Me and Dave are normal
height.
Oh
my God, why did I know he was going to go there?
The Nitro
question. Let it be one day. One day you don't speak of my height.
It's just the elephant, or I should say the ant in the room. I'm just kidding. So the Nitro question is, you know, knowing everything you know with a plethora of experience and a lot of happy clients over the years, what is the one investment fear that you've ever had that you might have put a client into, not intentionally, or fear that you do, you hope to never make this mistake with a client? What's that one thing that keeps you up at night when you think about, man, I just don't want to screw this one thing up? You don't have to answer it right now. You can think about it. Let it incubate. If you want. No, actually, we'll save it for a few minutes.
But we want to hear.
He is ready to go. We want you just to breathe. Just
sure.
Let it go. But, yeah, just something that would, like, maybe you think back to when you were brand new. And you did like your first couple of investments. You're like, I wish I didn't do it that way. What are
sure.
those things? So marinate on that. Maybe come up with one or two of those and we'll come back to it in a minute. But let's go back to what we were doing.
Yes, let's go back to that. You were talking about a client that you've never met that called you and now you're managing that property for that client. So it goes back to a question I had earlier. A lot of people want to buy properties, but then say, you know, you're in Chicago and then you want to start investing in the suburbs. What is the distance that you would say, stay? A lot of people just advise stay close to your investment property because if you're going to manage it, it's going to be accessible. But you're basically saying you manage this person from start to finish. So what's your take on that?
So we it's full service, right? We do sales, leasing, management from Cook County, Will County, and a portion of DuPage County. And I think it really comes back to the comfort of the individual. We literally have clients all over the world. And some of them have not visited their property, but because the property management is done very thoroughly, they're provided with photos and updates every 100 days on their properties. They understand what's going on. They get tenant. We have a software that allows them to see real time with every time a tenant puts in a request in. So they're not saying, well, what's going on with the property? Well, you were aware. We also get a maintenance allowance every single month that allows us to be able to facilitate those maintenance requests in a very, very timely fashion. So the distance really comes back to the comfort of the individual, but we literally have people that have been in Germany, somebody that was relocated to Hong Kong that we're dealing with now, people in California, people in New York, all within the United States that may have gotten relocated or that invest here. And some are trying to stay within 15 to 30 minutes of their home, but I would say that if you have great management, it almost doesn't matter where you're at.
So let me get this right.
Uh-oh.
If I'm an investor,
question.
I'm an investor, I want to buy an investment property. All I have to do is close on the property, and you guys are going to manage everything. You guys will collect
leasing, management, everything. Collect the fee, deposit it, facilitate repairs, 24-hour emergency line, offices open 7 days a week, inspections of the property every 100 days with safety checklist and photos, just a full on the field, hands on approach.
Dave drops cookies off every weekend for the tenant.
Ballpark.
Right? Can I get service? Cookies? I like cookies.
And we love our tenants, by the way. You know, it's so funny because you hear property managers say, you know, they distance. We said, think about this. You know, it's really business structure as well. The happier the tenant is, the happier we all are. We're not the management company that's running away from doing repairs.
Right.
Right? Or running away from things. We call our tenants and say from time to time throughout the year, and it's mandated by our staff, at least 3 times a year they must touch base with the tenant, other than the tenant touching base with them to see if they need anything for the property.
Wow, that's awesome.
I had to do light bulbs last week.
Well, listen.
For one of your properties?
At the end of the day, we're starting to go into too much management here. I want to bring everybody back. This is one of the top producing realtors in all of RE/MAX. They sell homes. So you're calling them to buy something or sell something. And if you did buy something and it's an investment, they just happen to also be equipped to take care of it for you. That's where we're really going with this.
Yes, sir.
But that's a good reason to also stay in good connection with your tenants, because your tenants might end up being buyers, if not of that property.
And there's really no secret about it. So if the tenants love us,
it's common sense.
Every 12 months, and sometimes long, if they stay longer, they will buy or lease another property. And we want to be that person for them and that group for them. So there's no shame in that. We love it. We embrace that.
Built-in motivation.
I love it. Is it okay to talk about, like, you know, pricing for something like, you know, the management of it?
Sure.
I know we don't want to talk about rates or anything like that, but if you're going to be an investor, at least when you're negotiating and you're thinking long term, how much to budget
fair fees.
So if the rent's between $1,250 and $1,850, typically the management fees could be between as low as 7% to 7.5%.
Okay.
So you're talking about less than $100 per month for full service management.
That's really low.
What if I want half service?
Oh, God. Here we go.
We're all in.
Always trying to negotiate something. Always trying to get something for free.
Just close eyes. Half is not acceptable, man.
No, great information, though, because I know, again, we keep talking about multi-unit investment, and now you're talking about, like, single family, how to own it, and where to get started. Earlier, we talked about, you know, if somebody lives in the property, you don't do rent to own. And a lot of people always call me and say, I really want to do a rent to own option. How does that work? And why do people not do it? Like you said, I find it most of our investors don't want to get stuck in, you know, a price point for today versus, you know, maybe July of next year because of the height of the market and all that jazz, right? So you may not be able to find those options. But Grocco, this question is for you. How does one get started and say, I want to buy maybe a single family for $250,000 basic? Maybe I'll go ahead and paint it for, you know, give it some TLC and get some equity there. But 250, and like you said, it would, you know, mortgage would probably be like around 12 or whatever, and then rental 1800. Like, how do I get started?
Well, we got to run. Well, first of all, to purchase a property as an investment, you got to own a primary residence, so to speak. In that sense, right now, we could do programs anywhere between 15% down. I think right now we're dabbling with one at 10% down as well.
We have 10%, yeah. For single families.
For single family, yeah. Mm-hmm. And the idea is that the rent has to at least cover that mortgage, right? Because you don't want to buy into an investment that you're actually coming out of pocket. But Nick touched on this a couple of shows ago. We do have to account for a 25% vacancy throughout the year when we're doing
Every lender has to do a 75% rental credit.
But it's just a matter of finding a property that actually has positive cash flow, and we're taking against 75% of that gross rent received on a monthly basis. And the ratios, as far as the income ratios, debt to income ratios have to be in line to a certain degree for us to be able to lend on that as well. But again, we do have programs anywhere from 10% to as high as 20% down on a single family residence. And in some cases, we're working a program right now for a multi-unit. And I know you don't dabble.
Oh, we do. We do. Yeah.
He does them all. He put a shocking that we kind of stayed on is
single family
homes being really popular around him. We have a question from Javier Garcia, another Mod Squad member from with us. Good question. How would you suggest, like, let's say we're buying a property in California. You guys don't manage those properties over there.
No, we don't.
Right. So how would you recommend or tell someone to screen a management company to make sure they're hiring a reputable place? Seems like you guys have all your ducks in a row. But if you go to the phone book, so to speak, and just pick one out in some random area, you don't know if you're getting a good place, a bad management company. How would you screen one?
The importance will be within the line of questioning, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that you would ask them, how many times a year are the properties physically visited? And respectfully, you don't ask them, can I have proof? But you'd say, are photos included with that? Or are inspection checklists included with that? And what is your vacancy rate? And what's your turnover rate? And how many units do you manage? And then you start to kind of realize pretty much the gist of the size of their operation.
Am I able to call, you know, references that you, let's say, investors that you currently have under your bucket? If I want to hire you guys, am I able to call them and ask them questions on your behalf?
Yeah, with their permission. Okay. Yeah, of course. Yeah, some people want to be, of course, they want to be anonymous, and some people don't mind giving their information.
Great stuff, great stuff. Go ahead, Nick.
No, we're waiting on you, Carla.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Carla.
I was reading the comments.
You've been awfully quiet lately, so let's just go ahead.
Because you always say that I talk too much, and then I don't let
That's not what I say.
That's what you said.
Nope.
That I don't let people speak, and I caught them. Nope. So I'm trying to be quiet, especially because Dave is in the studio, and I love Dave.
Thank you very much.
He's got a lot of information.
Thanks,
and he does actually have something to share with our audience.
That's not what she was doing, by the way.
You guys, I have a really busy day.
Sometimes she gets spoiled that we can, like, you know, just take over and deal with the guests, and then she starts doing her homework.
I don't do my homework. It's just been a crazy, crazy week. Can I tell you my sad story?
Because
Nick always talks about his sad story.
About you right now.
Carla, please. Oh,
please, Dave. It was, like, so
absolutely
crazy.
Absolutely, you can.
So can I tell you, I was driving to an appointment last night, and I got a flat because I hit a pothole. Talk about city taxes. Yeah, and then I was working on a deal with Grocco, and do you know if this man even called a tow truck for me? Didn't even care if
That's
I was stranded.
Her phone kept
and this
off.
One guy over here owed me a pre-approval, didn't even respond.
Your pre-approvals are like, my client wants to buy a house. They got a lot of money down. Can you give me a pre-approval? I don't know, let's start with a name, a phone number, or anything. I need it in 5 minutes. Okay.
I need it now. Okay. Everything is now.
So, yeah.
So anyway, enough about me. Great information. But why don't we go ahead and move on to the next line here item that I'm supposed to follow from our producer, Nico, who does a wonderful job producing this show. Our news reporter, Grocco Funes, has some really good.
You look more like Anderson Cooper with that hair.
Has some good.
You know I'm down in the streets.
You're down in the
digging up these stories
deep down in the streets of the Gold Coast.
So as you know, we like to bring top producing agents who are in the field transacting to give you, you know, information about how to best invest. But we also want to bring in some information about what's trending in the news. And that's why we're turning to Grocco Funes,
yes,
our Mod Squad reporter.
Mod by the minute. Right?
Wow.
Did he just change it from last week?
No,
terrible.
That's what it's
Go
about.
With it. Go with it.
All right, so we're gonna touch on two cool stories. The first one is 8 of the most expensive real estate developments in American history. Can you guys guess what the first would be? And this is all of the United States.
Wait, what? How did they go?
8 of the most expensive real estate developments in American history. Nope.
Does that include like commercial buildings or just like for commercial space?
Yeah, all of it. These are all developments.
Are you sure?
Yeah. I'll give you the first one.
It's got to be the New York thing.
The New York thing, yeah. The Hudson Yards.
Oh, so it's just residential.
Well, this is also residential and commercial. It all
ties. Then how could anything be more expensive than the Freedom Tower?
Well, the Hudson Yards neighborhood, you know, that project in itself was upwards of $20 billion, that development. That was number one on the list. I'm not going to go through all of them, but I'm going to touch on the top maybe 3 or 4. Number 2, your favorite, Nick, City of Las Vegas. City Center.
Thank you.
Keep it real.
We had to include that
and
in
my
there.
My friends and family in Las Vegas. That's for you.
City Center, we're at 16.7 million square feet of casino, high-end shops, and hotel luxury condominium. So that's a pretty cool development. Number 3 on the list was the Spring District of Bellevue, Washington. That project in itself was right around $2.3 billion.
Wow. Wait, it went from like $20 billion
to 16
billion.
Yeah, well, it's going down again.
To 2? Wow, 2.3 billion far apart.
Right. And then my favorite spot, my second home, is in Miami, Brickell City Center.
Since when is his second home in Miami?
You've been there like twice, man.
Come
yes!
on.
All right,
that project was at $1.5 billion in development. And to wrap up our stories here,
please do,
today,
because you're putting me to sleep.
Thank you, Anderson.
Seriously,
this was really cool.
Yeah,
I just
go
caught
for
this,
it.
And this was sourced and verified by the BBC. there was a woman who had 20 boyfriends.
What?
In China.
Wow.
And she got the 20 boyfriends.
Very long time.
Yes, very long time.
Gotcha, I'll be.
She got the 20 boyfriends to buy her 20 iPhones.
Okay. Nice.
The new ones that came out?
to allow her to sell those phones.
Yeah.
And purchase her home. So I thought that was super cool because she literally utilized
that's super cool.
These
huh?
funds.
She had 20 boyfriends.
You support
cool.
this.
For the down payment.
This is a family
in China,
show.
So this has nothing to do with our compliance here in the U.S., but I thought it was pretty cool and innovative that she's had 20 boyfriends.
What's this segment called?
Mod by the Minute.
I like it.
You no. like it, right?
It's kind of cool.
Yeah. We're going to have to like start
next
screen.
Week. More like moronic ideas.
That Croco find interesting.
Moronic ideas brought
I'm
to you
gonna
by.
I'm going
to
go ahead and say we're now going to have to.
So
can
she
you pass
sold 20 iPhones. And made, like, let's just say $20,000.
$24,000.
No, I veto this whole idea because I think that for now on, I need you to send me those
and
reports
bought,
so I can look at them.
And she bought three investment
them.
Properties actually with Dave Shalabi and his management company
boom.
In Chicago.
Boom. Love
anonymous.
It. Love it.
Dave,
hashtag
don't get
Dave's
it to,
anonymous is, clients.
You know, these are like, they've been married for a long time. Like, we don't like and we don't feed into their stupid because it just gets ridiculous.
So you didn't like the idea for a
song? Hey, is this why I always see you at the Apple Store?
Buying 20.
It wasn't me.
It wasn't you.
It wasn't me.
Love it. Okay. Anyway, are we ready for the question?
We are ready to get the answer. Dave, your nitro question was.
So we really don't have any regrets. But what
wow,
I would say,
look at that.
What I would say that I thought.
How
I
keeps you up at night?
No, it's got to be one. It's got to be one, bro.
Well, drive keeps me up at night. But I would say that.
Did he say drive? Yeah. This is like the best interview question. Tell me one bad thing about yourself. Nothing.
No, it's not about myself. I think
what's your favorite M&M collar?
Whatever you like. Yeah, right.
One fear about investing.
Oh, my God.
If you had a fear.
Green is the best M&M peanut. Yeah, sorry. Yeah,
yellow is, man. But anyways.
Red.
If you had one fear about consulting an investment client or one fear that it could happen if you think the deal was a little bit on the soft side, what would that fear be?
Commercial.
Either or.
Anything.
Investment.
No. I'm saying, I was answering. Commercial okay. retail in Cook County.
Why is that?
Taxes are really burdening the owners. And that we've seen that there's a lot of movement and a lot of the mom and pop strip malls have suffered dramatically.
So you're thinking about some of those that you've done in the past going, man, that might have been a bad idea. After seeing
I would say that I advise a client to say that you have a high risk here with a potential high return. Mm-hmm. But we've seen that. You know, it's so unpredictable, and people have said, wow.
Never again.
Yeah,
so
and
speak.
We stick to a much simpler model. And I find it astonishing that people, we actually revert people the other way from commercial. I mean, what you see is the for lack of a better word, the sexy commercial that people like talking about is like these big strip malls and mm-hmm. these big centers. We're seeing great returns on office medical. We're seeing mm-hmm. great returns on industrial. Industrial, you wouldn't really think that. Industrial is doing really, really strong. In the corridor, retail's really taken a really tough hit over the last 10 years. Ooh. In general.
Love it. Great advice.
There you go.
Can you also expand? And I know that you answered a lot of questions, so thank you so much.
I'm grateful to be here. You guys are awesome.
We're very happy to have you here. And happy birthday, by the way.
Thank you so much. My birthday wish has been granted. Sitting here with all of you.
There you go. Is that it?
I thought it was just me.
Did you bring in the cake?
I thought you were
you
bringing
said
in the
you
gift.
Were bringing the cake.
I know, but today cake. I've had a. Didn't I just. Should I go back to my flat tire?
She was getting my cake when she got the flat tire.
Is that what happened?
I love him.
And then she ran over your cake and it's not here now.
It's okay, but you know what? She lived.
She lived.
All
that matters.
See? That's She's all that matters.
I don't know, man.
Can I ask one last question?
Sure. No,
I
was going to ask.
Here.
Okay.
Oh, you're
going to
ask?
No, go for it. Jeez.
All right, so the top three things that you would give as advice for. An investor buying single family home. Top three.
Dun, 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 dun.
You're like, I already gave them all.
Be respectfully conservative.
Okay. Respectfully conservative.
Don't go for the simplicity with a clean model rather than the complex with a potentially deterring model.
Deepa Chopra.
And don't put all your eggs in one basket.
That's just like a life.
Oprah and I had lunch before I walked in here.
Deepa Chopra.
All your eggs in one basket.
All right, let's do the question over again.
Rich dad, poor dad.
I do like that. You ever read that book?
I did.
It's a great simple
I'm a
read.
I like
great
to
book.
Read.
I like to read as well.
Yeah, it is.
Do you like to read? Do you enjoy reading? Huh? Like that great Gatsby book you read?
I'll tell you what. I can swipe pictures like nobody's business. Go from left to right, left to right, right to right.
That's terrible. Gosh.
No. Good show.
Great show. Great information. Thank you so much for making a drive out here. I know it was crazy.
Great to be here, man. I'd love to do it again. You tell me whenever. We're here.
Okay, we can do December. No, it's good to have, you know, this is a great topic because sometimes, you know, we're always trying to find new content on a regular basis. And it feels like we let the topic of investment properties go a little too long and far apart from, and let's face it, people listen to the show, watch the show because they want to, for the most part, either learn how to make money doing this or save money doing this, or what's the smartest way to do this with less headache. And unfortunately, returns on your investment is why people are usually getting involved in real estate.
Yeah.
It's bottom line.
Yeah, it's,
you know,
how to
we
make
do
money.
Have other shows that get, you know, kind of skew off of that, but you know, it's really refreshing to come back to this one. So
if I can motivate one person from this show today to know that for 10 or 15 or at even on the high end of $20,000, they can own their first step of owning their first rental property, that's what I'd like to do.
I love it. That's great advice.
Because I don't want people to always think like, oh my God, I have to save up $250,000 in order to buy this unbelievable huge place.
No.
You really, really don't. They can go to great guys like yourselves to get the financing. It's an investment property, like you said, as low as 10% down, which we touched upon earlier. I think it's
fantastic. I think you have done that in this show, which, by the way, in order for Carla to call you and find out how she could buy her first investment property, we need to have your name,
your
phone number, and your contact info. So give us your phone number to call the Shalabi team and also your email address.
Sure. You want it now?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's 2 minutes and 50. It's 2:50.
Okay,
so direct access all time for me, 708-705-9000.
Love it. Great information.
No need for email. Just call.
I got millennials.
But if you want it, Dave Shalaby@gmail.com.
Dave Shalaby@gmail.
Good luck cleaning
that.
Great
stuff. And yeah. I do love the fact that you said that you don't need a lot of money to do this first investment, because we talk about multi-units and sometimes, you know, that's in a $400,000 to $500,000 threshold, and you're talking about like your first small investment. Get yourself, you know, a tenant and start becoming a landlord and just becoming an investor, because a lot of people just wish to do that. If you want to get your hands on a landlord tenant ordinance summary or any information that we talked about today, please go ahead and email us or call us. You can always reach Nick and I if you have any questions about buying or selling real estate at info@marketoverdrive.com. Also, if you have any questions for us or have a topic that you'd like us to cover or would like to come on our show, we encourage you to send us also an email at info@marketoverdrive.com.
And once in a while, we give out a phone number to people to call here, but today we wanted to be selfish and just hog Dave up for ourselves. We didn't want to share the phone lines with anybody else because Carla was supposed to give out that phone number. But if you want more information on this show or just to find this show and refresh everything we said here today, you can obviously find this on Facebook/Market Overdrive or go to our YouTube channel at Market Overdrive. Last but not least, we have our podcast, which this will be on probably about Monday. So you go to WGN Radio Podcast, subscribe to us, get every single show, Dave Shalabi Show, and every other show we've ever done. Last but not least, go visit MarketOverdrive.com, and we will be back here. Thank you for listening. We'll be back here Thursday, 2 p.m. next week again. Have a good one.
Ciao.